Well, g'day. I'm Ross.
And I'm Naomi.
And welcome to Not Stacks Online.
No, we're not. We got a promotion this week.
Yeah. So we're in all of your TVs or your computers and with people from all the different services. So we hope you enjoy our all-age service here today.
Yes. All-age online, St. Alfred's.
Yeah. If you have any kids in your house, now's a great time to go grab them if they're not already with you. Mm. And let's look at this story that we've got happening today.
Yeah.
So we're actually not in Luke, Naomi. We've been in Luke for ages.
We have been in Luke for so long. I thought that's what we were doing.
No, yeah, it's a book that Luke wrote. It's called Acts. And it's a special occasion. We've come dressed for the occasion today. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing red-ish.
Mm-hmm. Red.
What's the occasion?
Pentecost.
So let's set the scene for you a little bit. So we've brought in a calendar here, and so we just do a bit of counting here and working out where we are in the story. So what's the date today? Where are we?
It's the 31st.
31st of May.
Of May, but it's wrong.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, I see.
2020. Okay. It's 2018.
Just doing a bit of recycling here. We didn't have a 2020 calendar around.
Mind you, we probably could have found one.
Probably could have found one. So this is the day we're on now. This is Pentecost, and this is not a Thursday. It's, in fact, a Sunday. Okay, so we want to get back to Easter and see how long it's been since Easter, because this story's a little bit connected. Mm-hmm. So where did Easter happen? Let's count back a bit.
1, 2, 3, 4.
4 weeks. We have to go to the next page. Got the canola fields. We're at Luna Park.
5, 6, 7.
Right. Okay. Here we've got, this is Easter. I'm going to draw a big cross here. This is Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. Right there, the 12th.
Sunday. You need to check our calendar.
Sorry. Okay. 2020. I hope you can read my writing. I hope you can see my writing. Mm-hmm. So it's actually been 7 weeks now since Easter happened, since the resurrection of Jesus. That's 49 days. So Jesus was raised again. He stayed with his disciples for 40 days, which mm-hmm. means they've now been on their own for nine days. 9 days on their own.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at the story. What actually happens?
Yeah. What actually happens?
Give that a pull. Oh. Excellent. So I know that in our story we have a guy by the name of Peter, who is a friend of Jesus. So
let me do that. Okay.
So here's Peter drawing right-handed.
I am drawing
now,
right-handed.
Now, I'm always a big fan of Peter. Peter's a really fun guy to read about in the Bible because he actually gets it wrong lots of times. He says the wrong thing. He does the wrong thing. He's very impulsive. He jumps in the water when he sees Jesus fully clothed and just swims to him. And I kind of like all that about him. So he's in our story, but he's actually looking a little bit sad in this story. And that is because it has been those 9 days since Jesus went. And he's with his friends, his disciples, and they just don't really know what to do. So where were they, Naomi? Where were they?
They were in Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. Okay, so they were probably, let's say...
In a house.
House, so I'll draw the house. So my house will look a lot like a stable, so because that's just how I like drawing things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a chimney so it looks like it's not a normal stable because usually they are.
Well, we wanted to make it look like a house.
Yeah. So here he is. He's in a house. Mm-hmm. He's in Jerusalem. It's 9 days after Jesus ascended.
Yep.
What happens then?
It got really, really windy.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a wind. Well, it was actually not a wind. It just says it sounded like a wind. So it was really noisy.
So, but we'll draw it as if it's a wind. I've got some arrows here so that we can see it. Maybe not like it's not just lines or waves, but it's like a wind kind of sound.
Yeah.
That's not all that happened.
No. And fire came on their heads.
Wow. Without burning them up?
Without burning them up, on top of their heads. That's so not actually touching their heads, on top of their heads.
In fact, we have a little bit of an illustration we can show you about that. So let's step over to the other part of our little studio.
Come on.
Righto, so here we are in the other part of our studio. So wanted to look at what that might have looked and sounded like when the Holy Spirit came. So we talked about flame and like sound like a wind.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Here's my flame. So could you imagine that on somebody's head?
Not very easily, yeah. But you imagine it would sit there above their head and it didn't actually harm them or injure them in any way. as a sort of a showing of what the Spirit was doing. It was just right there with them. It's amazing.
Mm. It is pretty cool. And we talked about the noise that came like a rushing wind. So I have something that we can use.
All right.
Cool. So I bought my hairdryer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So...
That's not a hairdryer.
Nope.
Now that's a hairdryer.
Very windy.
Yeah, it was very windy.
And very noisy.
Let's keep going with our drawing of our story here. So yes. There's the wind, the noise, there's the what looks like fire on their heads. What happens next?
So people came running.
They did.
Because it was so noisy. But you know what? When we were practicing at illustration, Peter McPherson came running because it was so noisy. It was like perfect timing. So here's my running man.
So people came running from all over because they heard this great big noise. And what's more, as that was happening, we found that that Peter sort of changes a little bit. He's been this sad guy up until now. But something gives him a little bit of strength. So I'm going to put on some muscles here for him. What's more...
He was happy. He wasn't sad anymore.
Something changed inside him a little bit here, and he becomes a much bolder person.
Yes.
So then what happened?
Well, because he felt strong, he was able to speak to the people that were running. Yeah. So he's our speech bubble.
Yep. And the cool thing is that as he spoke, people started hearing it in their own language. So I'm going to write down here. I've got a couple of words to put down.
Yep. I'm going to write bonjour.
Okay. What's bonjour mean?
Hello in French, I think. I don't know. I don't speak other languages.
I've got Yoplait because that is French for yogurt.
Yeah, yeah. See?
So we don't actually know whether the people were hearing it in their own language or whether it was spoken in different languages by the disciples. Mm. But what we do know is some amazing things happen and people could hear all sorts of stuff in their own language. I like how you've got g'day down there.
Yeah.
That's
very Aussie.
That's very cool.
Very Aussie. But... all the people were coming to hear, and Peter was speaking about Joel and the prophecies that he had told about the Spirit coming and how amazing the things that would happen when the Spirit came. But then Peter goes on to talk about Jesus and how Jesus had died. You can draw a cross, and it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him.
It's a great speech, actually, that Peter makes, and I love reading it and finding out more about it. And one of the cool things he does is he does a kid's talk. There are some fantastic kid's talks in the Bible, and if we keep reading through Luke, which we're going to do over the next few weeks, Jesus does some rippers, actually. He does the best kid's talks. He uses props. He has seeds, mustard seeds, or he holds coins, or he points to trees, and he talks about these objects. Well, Peter does one as well here, and he says, well, you know that king, that great king of ours, King David, you know, he died and you can go up now, and he points and says, you can go and see his tomb. It's here now. He's in the grave. We know his body is there and he's decaying. Well, that's not the case with Jesus. Jesus isn't in the grave. He hasn't been confined to that and his body didn't see decay. And it's amazing because it's only, what, how long do we say? 49 days since Jesus rose. So it's 51 days since Jesus died on the cross. Yes. So this is really fresh for all of them. And they would have been able to go to the actual tomb and look and say, hey,
he's not there.
He's not there.
He has gone.
And so he ends with this really great statement, a great triumphant statement. Mm. Verse 36, he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Mm. It's a fantastic sermon that he gives.
And because of all the things that Peter was saying in this great speech, 3,000 people came to Jesus.
It's going to be a lot of drawing.
Yep. Hold on to your seats. Let's go.
All right.
Oh, man.
Sore arm.
That's a lot of drawing.
So how many did you draw? Let's have a look. I did 31.
I did about 28.
Okay, so we've got, what's that, 59?
59.
It's not 3,000.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's all right. You get the idea. Lots of people. More people than we can possibly draw.
I don't think everybody wants to wait for us to draw 3,000 people.
I love this story, and I love what Peter does.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he's able to influence all these people.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter is not the only one in this story.
He isn't?
Yep.
Ah, that's right.
There's another focus.
There is another focus in this story, and that's the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is at work here. In fact, I wonder what this story would look like if there was no Holy Spirit in it.
Ooh, that's a really interesting question. Hmm. Maybe we should take out all of the things out of our story that came from the Holy Spirit.
Well, we can start with the wind, the sound of the wind. If that didn't happen,
mm-hmm.
well, that can go.
Yep.
Not only the wind.
Yep. Well, there was no fire on their heads.
Flames got to go.
So we'll have to do some housework later, fix the house.
The thing is, if that happens, well, then we don't get people running.
No.
Because that's what drew them, wasn't it?
Yes, so it was. It was the sound of the Spirit coming that brought them running. If people didn't come running, Peter wouldn't have done any speaking.
He wouldn't have been very strong either.
No, and he wouldn't have done any speaking.
He was still...
But the cross is still there.
Yeah, the cross, I think, is still there.
Yeah.
So let me just... I think I'll put this back in again.
Oh, he's sad.
Yep, he's sad again.
And because Peter didn't share about the Spirit and about God and Jesus, we don't have the people. And the people didn't hear the things in their languages.
And sadly, 3,000 people don't become followers of Jesus that day. It's a pretty sad story. We still have the cross because that still happened. Jesus mm-hmm. still did die on the cross
mm-hmm.
and he was still resurrected.
Yes.
But no one's hearing about that. No one's coming running. No one's being told about it.
No.
And we've just got a sad guy in a sad, dumpy looking house and nothing happens.
No. Kind of means that Peter did everything in the Spirit's strength.
Yeah. So when we think of this story, it's really helpful to remember what Peter did, but actually the biggest focus and the most important thing in this story really is what the Holy Spirit does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we shouldn't be surprised at what the Spirit does. As we've been looking through Luke, there's even been hints in there,
predictions
of the Spirit coming. So if we go back and we look in chapter 3 where John the Baptist is in that story, he gives us an idea of the Spirit coming. What does he actually say?
So John answered everyone, "I baptize you with water, but there is one coming later who will do more than I can. I am not good enough to untie his sandals. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
Well, that sort of is what kind of happened, wasn't it? So that, you put that back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Some of these things can go back in the story a little bit. We start getting an idea, of course, of what the Spirit is like, because it's told to us in other parts of the Bible as well. So if we look in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, mm-hmm. the Spirit actually is inside us.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say in chapter 3, verse 16?
"You should know that you yourselves are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you."
Wow, that is incredible. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit was there. The Spirit would come for short periods of time and indwell people and give them strength and power to do amazing things, but then the Spirit would go again. So what we see now from this day, from Pentecost, is that the Spirit lives in us and is with us all the time and doesn't depart. And this is a truly amazing thing that happens. But that's not all. The Bible tells us a little bit more. Jesus himself in the book of John in chapter 14 tells us about this, this helper that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
"But the Helper will teach you everything. He will cause you to remember all the things I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name."
So it's a helper or a comforter or an advocate that actually helps us know Jesus better and to know what to do. And not only that, if you look in other parts of the Bible, so even when Jesus ascended, so we go into the chapter mm-hmm. before the one today in Acts chapter 1, we're seeing that the Holy Spirit is powerful and we get a taste of what's about to happen. What does he say? What does Jesus say?
"But the Holy Spirit will come to you then you will receive power. You will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and every part of the world.
And this is the Spirit that is in us. So we have this Spirit, this helper and this advocate who teaches us and instructs us and helps us. We have this Spirit who lives in us permanently and is part of us. And it can give us confidence in the way that it builds Peter up, and he gets those muscles and that strength to be able to do these things, these amazing things in this story. That this same Spirit is at work now, and we can have this. One of the things I love about this story is how the Spirit sends people to Peter and to the other disciples. And so there is the loud noise that actually sends them. And so we can know as we live our lives that God may be placing people in our path deliberately because he wants them to hear about Jesus through us. Sometimes we don't have confidence. We can be like that sad man in the house in Jerusalem, and we might not feel like we have the strength or the confidence to tell people about Jesus. But we have to remember that God puts people in our path deliberately and draws people to us so that they can see who this great God is. And that is the Spirit at work, and it is still at work in us now. Our job isn't to convert people.
No.
So all these 3,000 people that get added aren't because of Peter, and it's not our job to do that. That's the Spirit's job to do that. Mm-hmm. Our job is to say something.
Be willing.
Yeah.
To be willing.
Open your mouths and say something. So we both had stories a little bit about that. Friends who became followers of Jesus or whose lives were changed by something that we said. I've got two friends who tell me that I was helpful in helping them become Christians, but I have no idea what I said. And one of them kept saying it to me. I'm like, I have no clue. So just have no memory of saying anything at all. But obviously something happened, and I was willing at some point, and God gave me the words clearly that person needed to hear. Those people. You got stories too?
And I have a friend who was a single mum and who was really struggling, and I spent time with her and I encouraged her. Again, I have no idea what I said to her, but she rang me one day to say that she was back with her husband. And here we are 18 years later, and they are still together and they have more children, which is a real blessing to know that that happened. But I still don't know to this day what it is that I said that prompted her to make those choices and those decisions.
Well, God sometimes gives us the words like he did with the disciples, and they got heard in all sorts of languages. Mm-hmm. We just don't know what strength God's going to use, what sort of power he's going to use to draw people to himself. Mm-hmm. We just need to be prepared to open our mouths, and it could be something really simple, like the simple speech that Peter gives.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we're the people who need to be told the stories.
Yeah, to be encouraged.
Yeah, because sometimes we're the ones who are grieving or are sick or who are really struggling with life as well. Mm-hmm. What happens then? What does the Spirit do for us?
I don't know, but I think we should go and find out.
Another part of our studio.
Come on over.
All righty. Now, I think I asked a pretty good question before when we were over there about what the Holy Spirit does when we're the ones who are feeling a bit fragile. Now, we've got balloons. I don't know if this is asking for trouble or not.
Well, so, what's gonna be? What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. Oh! Well.
Obviously.
That!
Could go wrong. Oh, dear.
That didn't work very much. So, what are you doing?
I have another balloon.
What are you doing?
I have another
balloon. What are you doing? Don't do it! Don't do it!
What?
Put it right. Make it. It's not popping.
No.
What is happening? What is the difference with this one and all the other ones?
Well, you see, this one, Ross, has something inside it.
Right, what?
It has.
Water.
It's got water inside of it. But just like when we have the Spirit in us, it helps us. The water inside this balloon is helping it and giving it strength so that it doesn't pop. But just like when we go through hard times, we don't normally come out the other end unscathed. Normally it leaves a little bit of a mark. And just like this balloon, can you see that? It has left a scar on the balloon, a mark. So the balloon went through a hard time, but the water gave it strength, just like the Spirit is in us, and he gives us strength when we are going through hard times. And it leaves a little bit of a mark, but we can come through the journey.
Yeah. So there might still be some pain, but the Spirit is with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you can do this experiment at home, although if you're a child, we would ask if you do this experiment, you do it with an adult as well. Otherwise, it's just a water balloon. So if you can do that, we'll show you how to do it on Stacks Online so you can check on that.
Safety first.
So let's go wrap up.
Sounds good.
Part of the studio. Well, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for allowing us to be in your lounge room and to do this all-age service with you online.
Mm-hmm. I hope you guys feel encouraged that despite our troubles and hard times, that the Spirit is with us. And sometimes we are the ones that encourage others, but sometimes other people who are filled with the Spirit are the ones that encourage us.
And this is an amazing day to celebrate. This is one of the biggest days in history, really. It's God coming through His Spirit to dwell in us permanently for mm-hmm. those who believe in Him and follow Jesus. So celebrate this day. It's a great day.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to end here. And thanks for being with us. Let me pray as we finish up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Spirit. We thank you that the Spirit has come and is with us. We thank you for all the work that gets done in the Spirit's name and in His strength. We thank you that He indwells us and is in us through the hard times, through the times where we get to fill others up. I pray, God, that we will go out today into all the things that we might do around our homes, or if we're able to go elsewhere, the people that we encounter, that we will help spread the word about you, and that your Spirit will be at work in all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
See you later.
See ya.